For some weeks now, Jesus has been dialoguing with very hostile partners. The last group from last Sunday was the Pharisees who had gathered around about him. And his words to them that we heard last Sunday were about the two great commandments: love God, love neighbor. And after those words, they just walk away silently. Their only response to his call to love was a deafening silence. And as they are walking away, Jesus turns and he starts to speak to the crowds and to the disciples that still are with him. And then he begins to reveal for us the emptiness of that Pharisaical mindset. Now, we have to be careful that we don't hear these words as Jesus condemning a group of people from 2,000 years ago, because the same mindset is still present today, which is precisely why we need to hear these words proclaimed to us today. He speaks them to you and me. The Pharisaical mind and heart isn't motivated by the love of God or even the fear of God. It's rather motivated by self-promotion. The root of all virtue lies in the desire to please God, only God. And that's not some immature drive to impress God with demonstrations of goodness or great long times of prayer or great efforts of self-denial in the hope of getting something in return. The virtuous soul wants to please God almost like a young plant that simply longs for the light in order to grow, to be alive. Simply by longing for the light, by desiring God's will, we already begin to please him, because we're already beginning to grow in relationship with him simply by desiring his will. The Pharisaical mindset performs good works for the purpose of being seen. The Greek verb there, theatine, to see, to be seen, we get the word theater from there. They perform their good works not for the God who sees the hiddenness of the heart, but as a spectacle for others, to be at the theater. So when you and I are on, who's our audience? It's a good question. Before I leave the house, before I leave my own room, who's my audience for today? At the very least, is God a part of my audience for today? Then, in the gospel, Jesus uses that very powerful word, love, in relationship to the Pharisaical heart. From last Sunday, we know that the two great commandments are to love God first, and then so to love our neighbor. But Jesus says here that the Pharisaical heart loves things, right? With people merely as kind of the backdrop or the audience, the spectacle, the necessary props for me to outshine or rise above. He says they love seats of honor, greetings in marketplace, not as a means to love another, but as a means for others to love and serve them, to prop up their own ego. It's so hard for us not to be selfish, but Jesus says we have to strive for that, and his grace will lift us up. The title rabbi means teacher, but more literally it means my great one. You can imagine how hearing that makes the Pharisaical heart just thrill. My great one. Jesus isn't saying that it's wrong to have teachers in life, right? We say this here on a university campus. That's not wrong. But rather that even teachers must remember that we are all learners. We're all disciples at the feet of the one great teacher of all. And remembering that fosters a sense of camaraderie among all of us students. He says, we're all brothers and sisters before the one, the great one. What are we to make of Jesus' command to call no one on earth your father? He says, you have one father in heaven. Well, earlier in the very same gospel, just a few chapters earlier in Matthew, Jesus used that very same term in relationship to the fourth commandment when he said, and I quote, God said, honor your father and mother, and whoever curses father or mother shall die. End quote. So he's not contradicting himself just a few chapters later. He's saying exactly what St. Paul said later on in 1 Corinthians when Paul wrote that all earthly fatherhood must find its source and reference in the one heavenly Father. And this is really important because oftentimes we get that proper relationship reversed. Right? So my earthly father hurts me. Or the priest, my spiritual father, upsets me. That happens. And then I get upset at the heavenly father, God, the heavenly father. But Jesus reminds us that every earthly father is just a pale, often sinful reflection of true fatherhood as found in the one heavenly Father. So our failings as earthly fathers have to be purified by the unfailing love and truth of the heavenly Father. So please don't let me or your dad give the heavenly Father a bad name. Rather, let the heavenly Father heal you. And then you can have mercy on those of us who are weak and imperfect earthly fathers. It's also interesting to note there in the gospel that there are three titles that Jesus cautions us about, right? And if we consider those three carefully, those titles refer to the three persons of the Holy Trinity. I mean, there's the Heavenly Father, obviously, right? And then he says, the Master. Master is the Christ, that's Jesus. And then that means the rabbi or the teacher refers to the Holy Spirit who instructs the hearts of all the faithful. Finally, this week we begin to celebrate National Vocation Awareness Week. So please just let me say a few words about that. I love being a priest. I hope that comes through in how I live my priesthood. I love being a catalyst for people's faith. I love being invited into people's faith lives in the first place because of the sacraments, right? Baptism, confirmation, confession, Eucharist, matrimony, anointing of the sick, but also by being invited into the highs and lows of your spiritual life. It's such an honor and a privilege to be there at such important moments, whether they're high or low. And nothing is perfect on this side of the veil, right? But just as a spouse's love for the other enables him or her to bear hardships in that relationship, in that spousal relationship, so the priest's love for Christ and the church enables him to bear suffering in pastoral ministry. So when you call me Father Dan, I hope my weaknesses aren't too much of a distraction for you from the one true Heavenly Father. But please also know that by doing so, you give me a continual reminder of where my life and all of our lives must be pointed. Our own St. John Henry Cardinal Newman said beautifully about each and every one of us that God has created me to do some special service, God has committed some work to me which has not been committed to another. I have a mission. If your mission includes priesthood or religious life, know of my prayers for you and my willingness to be available to talk with you about that, to help you think through that or discern that. The church says we need to be free to see where God is calling us. Priesthood, religious life, marriage, they're all good vocations, every single one. And I strongly believe that authentic discernment means coming to the freedom that says I could be happy in any of those vocations. You know, when I was ordained a priest, all those years in the seminary beforehand, just pulling my hair out, trying to, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to be a priest? You know, do I want to be a priest? Is this right? And then after I was ordained, from that moment on, it's been like, well, God has chosen me. So I don't have the right nor the desire to second guess that. So I've had no doubt about this is what I'm called to be ever since my ordination. But it was interesting, after my ordination, all of a sudden I realized I could be very happy as a husband and father. That would have been a beautiful vocation for me as well. And God would have been just as pleased. Right? That's what I mean. Coming to that authentic freedom to say, both of these are great goods that I could thrive in. Both, right? No one will be a good priest who wouldn't also be a good husband and father. No one will be every husband and father must be able to live sacrificial love just as fully as a priest does. In every survey now for decades, priests always rank among the top in satisfaction with their vocational choice and life. And to me, that makes perfect sense because I love this life. So please join me in praying for priestly vocations, as well as for a culture here in our parish, a strong culture in our parish of authentic freedom for vocational discernment. Let's pray to the Blessed Mother, who's in one sense is the mother of all vocations for us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So the homework for the week is just simply this. In your family prayer, group prayer, in your personal daily prayer, throughout this week, pray that every parishioner here will experience freedom in his or her vocational discernment.